All right, so this is actually going to be a three-part series. Me and the guest, Margot White, went really long, 2 hours, and we both agreed even during the interview that this probably needs to be chunked up. So this is going to be a three-part series. This is part one, obviously. But I want to do something I don't usually ask. I'm going to start asking more, so sorry, you're going to get this a lot more. Please rate and review, tell some of your friends about this. Any questions, critiques, or just a compliment, hit me up on my SpeakPipe on my website. Hit me up on Twitter. I will use it as often as I can. I'm still not really Photoshop savvy, but I'll use Instagram as much as I can. I'll try to be as active as possible. I'm also looking into scaling down the interviews. Maybe one or two a week, but also incorporate a Q&A session. I'd like your feedback. I'm looking into YouTube. Margot recommended this at the end of my interview with her, is to incorporate YouTube. So I'm going to look into that. So other than that, enjoy. And yeah, there we go.
Okay, you go first.
Thank you, Margo. Thank you also for coming on. Whoa, there just went my mic. Margo, tell me what you do and how did you find this show?
Well, Josh, first of all, we met on Matchmaker.fm. That's first. And secondly, I listened to most of your episodes, and I was really impressed by your energy and your speeches that you give. I thought that it would be nice to get in touch and have this friendly conversation on your show, the Josh Bolton Show. Listen, guys, listen to all of the episodes. You will find the value here.
Thank you, Margo. Thank you very much for that. So you were telling me before I hit the record button that you're a copywriter. How does that work?
Exactly. Well, I'm not quite copywriter. I used to do this stuff, but now I'm number one expert in copywriting for entrepreneurs. So I consult entrepreneurs to do their homework before they write the copy or outsource that. Because people think that all you need to do for your business is just sit down, write a copy. And since it's free to share, like it's free to send an email, right? It's free to share a social media post. So what they do is they don't pay close attention to everything they share. They don't have consistency. They don't have strategy. They don't ask themselves the right question. They don't wonder who their audience is. And what we get as a result, and you, Josh, can agree with me, when you scroll your social media every morning, there are lots of mixed messages, and most of them are similar. So there is a kind of, nothing grabs your attention anymore because there are same things said by different people, and it's like copy-paste, all of it. Nothing creates this, bounding experience with you as a reader. So what I try to do, and I do this pretty well with corporate clients and Fortune 500 companies, is I make entrepreneurs do their homework by describing themselves, their business, and their audience before the first word goes out on behalf of that company.
Okay. So you were mentioning to me earlier about the customer avatar. Can you tell me the basic premise of that?
Oh, I love that question. And actually, customer avatar, I can do the whole show around that. I can do the whole live. I mean, for the past 4 years, all I've been doing is studying customer avatars and developing the new form of it. Now, let's start from what people think the customer avatar is. If you Google it, the first thing that comes out, what you need to know about your customer avatar is their age. Do they drive a car? How many kids they have? Where they work, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So I kind of agree on the fact that it should be described for your business, but there's so much more beyond that. This data can cannot be used to create content. This data cannot be used to create an email that drives action. Okay, just because your customer avatar, you know that your customer avatar is 35-year-old person, it, you know, if you go with this information to any copywriter, he will go, okay, so what next, right? So you're not stating anything but the general data. I went way beyond that. And in terms of customer avatar, I started with the companies itself, because we attract like-minded people always. So you start not with your audience, but you start with yourself and studying yourself first. And that's where your customer avatar starts shaping. And let me give you the road of that roadmap. Okay. Is you first start with what are your beliefs about your industry? What are your beliefs about life in general? So you ask yourself these questions, and there is a whole list of questions that you need to ask yourself. And then it starts shaping the people that you are able to work with. Okay, so when you shaped yourself, and we can dive deeper into this, but I just want to give a broad picture. When you shaped yourself, you start asking, what is the type of person I never want to see in my business? You know why? Because it's much easier to describe the anti-avatar than to describe the avatar. Okay? So you start listing the qualities and, you know, basic data of the person you don't want to do business with. And then you, once again, it slowly but surely starts shaping your audience, because you write down all the qualities that you don't want for your business. And then out of these qualities, you figure out what you want for your business. Okay.
Right.
So have you ever done that, Josh?
No, I'm literally writing it down as we speak.
I was wondering if you ever turned down the client, they paid you, but you just didn't like them.
You know, actually, I used to teach martial arts with one of my guests. I mentioned that earlier. And actually, right. One of the things, the client was willing to pay $500 a month to me.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, the person, I finally had to give him back the money. Like, I can't do this. Like, you're impossible to work with.
You know, that people start respecting you when you start saying no. I recently had this interesting thought that if you as a person, you know, work with CEOs, CFOs, or, you know, leaders, then you should know that these people got to where they are right now, not just by saying yes to every opportunity, but by saying no to things that they find unacceptable for them. So when you as a business have very strict criteria for what you want and what you don't want in your business, that's when you start, they start seeing value in you. That means that you appreciate yourself. And it's kind of intrigue as well, because everyone around is running like, give me your money. If you have money, that's the only criteria. Can you afford this? That's it. And clients stopped feeling special. It all went down to dollars.
Right.
When out of this crowd, there is a business, there comes a business that says, okay, these are the people I'm helping, and these are the people I can't help, okay? And I don't want to.
Right.
So that's when your value raises. And it should be actually reflected in your content as well, because we're going to talk about content, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it should be reflected in your content, saying that, you know what? I refuse to work with that person. And if you are, I'm just, you know, talking briefly, but if you are this kind of person, I don't want you in my business. But if you are this kind of person, I can help you.
Right. So,
you know?
Yeah.
So anti-avatar is very important. It's really, really important for your business because it's, you know, it attracts respect. And then there is, you know, three states of the customer avatar, which I personally developed. It's inner minimum. I will slow down as you write, and I hopefully your audience too. So inner minimum, inner breakdown, and inner maximum. Now, the information, the basic information about your customer avatar does not give anything in terms of content. Okay, it will not give your copywriter enough information on what should he or she write about, how to develop content strategy, and et cetera. But these three states, like inner minimum and inner breakdown and inner maximum, will give a brief understanding of the world that your customer avatar is living in. It's what we can see online is oftentimes is unrealistic promises that actually, you know, like buy this course for $97 and you will become a millionaire. Then there is a disclaimer like, okay, the creator of the course does not take any responsibility for your income and blah blah blah.
Right.
You've seen that a lot, right?
And it's actually the funny part with my coworkers. They all are scrolling on Instagram and they're like, these people are so happy and it's so great. Well, why can't I have it? I'm like, you know, I'll bet you 10 bucks right now. Cash. They are all just as miserable as you, but they're really good at Photoshop.
Awesome. That's pretty much true for many people. And I believe that actually there is a lot of value in lots of courses, but the thing is that most people are not ready to change. And in their mind, maybe they're buying this course. Did you know that 97% of people don't even finish the course that they bought?
Yeah, 97%. I completely agree with that. It's the same, the amount of non-completes for classes in general.
Yeah. I mean, it's just and millions and millions of dollars every day are flushed just because people are buying. They're buyers, but they're not doers, right?
Right.
So once again, if you're working with that kind of product, I'm sorry, but this is my criteria. I cannot help this kind of people who are working with this product.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not my area. I'm working with coaches and really millionaires who, you know, whose programs drive action and they cost $2K and higher.
Oh, I would say 2,000 is nice. One of the guys I had on, Vinny Chopra, his minimum for apartment syndication is 20,000.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think that it's better to charge people 20,000 and bring them results than charge them 97 bucks and don't bring them anything. I truly believe so.
And he's even said, he's like, long after you pass it, he's like, you have unlimited access to my email if you have any questions or any suggestions on investors for your apartment syndication kind of thing. So I'm just sitting there going like 20K for something that could potentially be hundreds of millions of dollars. That's just pennies kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If the person delivers the value and he or she coordinates, you know, people who are passing this course and masterminds. That's why I'm a big believer in masterminds because masterminds is where you are seen, unless that's mastermind for 200 people, which is not, you know, it shouldn't be that way. Masterminds should be up to 20 people and you should communicate with the host directly. Right. Mm-hmm. So going back to the three states, when we're talking about high ticket products, and especially financial products, we should know that people who are ready to spend $2K, $5K, $20K, they have this BS filter, and the same strategy will not work with them and for them. And I love it. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot promise a person that he will become a millionaire, okay, if he is not. But at the same time, these three states, when you describe them closely, they show how the success, the progress of success looks realistically in their mind. Because we all hope for the best. We are all afraid of the worst. And the state that we're in right now, unless we want to change something, is our inner minimum. So we're okay with where we are. Okay?
Right.
So that actually brings me to description of what each state is. Inner minimum is, once again, the state that your comfort zone. Okay? Most people say it's your comfort zone. I go way beyond that, but let's call it comfort zone on this show, okay?
Okay.
Because it takes a lot of time. So inner minimum is the zero point. Now, what you're promising to your prospect should be inner maximum, but it shouldn't be more than 5x of his inner minimum. Because our mind does not find realistic those... you know, as much as I appreciate Grant Cardone, but 10x thing.
Yes, I listened to like five chapters, and at a certain point, I'm like, okay, that definitely is good for some people, but that is not doable for anyone else.
Right. You know that I'm more results driven, and although I passed all of these courses because I had to, you know, mm-hmm. I can tell you that most people are just listening to that and doing nothing. Because otherwise, we would have millionaires walking down the street, and you know, not only Hollywood Boulevard, right?
Or right.
So the thing is that people get this pill that you know, motivation pill, as I call it, that's instant motivation. But then their BS factor in their mind starts actually questioning this whole thing. Like, you're not able to do that. You're not able to, you know, reach the stars. And that happens because of unrealistic promises. And that is exactly why most programs are started but not finished.
Yeah.
You know, because BS filter, you can't change your mind. So what I figured over the years and years of working in this sphere is 5X is a comfort you know, multiplication of your results. So if you're making, for example, 40K right now, if I come to you and I say that you're going to make 200K a year, if you follow step by step and be consistent in your actions, your mind will pass this result through the BS filter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making 40K a year. Okay. I'm sorry. I was talking about the years. Okay.
Right.
So if you're making 40K a year and I'm coming to you and I'm telling you, you're going to have like 2 million a year next year. You know, there is a difficulty in that. Your mind will find it difficult to believe. So you will better act on 200K than on 2 million. Although it's not, you know, it's kind of beyond logic, right? You should mm-hmm. have been motivated for 2 million more than 200K. But that's not how our minds work.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been reading books like Thinking Fast and Slow. And this is exactly what you're explaining is System 1 to System 2 for him. It's mm-hmm. the BS filter system too, and it'll immediately tell your emotions like, don't get your hopes up kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to break in here, because it's not just about the courses and coaches. It's about the financial world also. So when people, when you try starting to change people's behavior through your content, you have to really dive deep into their minds and figure out what is the what is about these three states that you can actually catch their attention and move their actually change their behavior. And inner maxim, I'm sorry, this is inner maxim, and inner breakdown on the other side is the state that you're bringing them in, which should happen if nothing changes. Okay, so this should be minus 5x. Okay, it's very consistent formula. So it's for inner maximum, you have plus 5x. For inner breakdown, you have minus 5x. And that's how this whole thing goes, that you are describing them. Because if you will tell a person that, you know what, if you don't change your life, you're going to be miserable for the entire, you know, whatever. Every person you know will bring an example of someone who is living, you know, stable, normal life and is totally happy. I can bring lots of examples of people who don't make a lot of money, but they're much more much happier than those who make millions and millions of dollars. So that you know, threat from the coaches saying that, okay, you're not going to be happy if you don't make millions of dollars, that's kind of not going to work. But on the other side, this minus 5x inner breakdown explains to the person that if he doesn't develop, he just does not unleash his potential. That's pretty much it. It's not about being unhappy. It's not about being miserable. It's just about the thing that you have to do for yourself, for the people that you love, and you're just not doing it. And once again, you're very soft in your predictions, like an inner maximum. So these are three states that we developed for our customer avatar, and they're part of your content strategy. And as you probably noticed, Josh, that all these three things that I described right now are tightly connected to you. So when I developed this thing called Content DNA, I actually created kind of a structure for the content that is so individual that is practically, it's very difficult to copy by your competitors. It's very difficult to copy because they're not going to copy your story. Well, unless this is totally anarchy.
Right.
So they're not going to become you. And since it all comes from you, you, then your customer avatar, then their inner states, and then your content strategy. So this creates a unique message in your content that cannot be repeated. So that's basically the roadmap of everything that we do here.
That's so powerful in and of itself. Yeah. The way you said actually earlier that people don't respect the people respect more those who say no. That's what I've recently with all the stuff I've been with interviewing. I realized some of the people I've just had to tell them like, no, and actually we're still in contact. Like they're actually like, hey, I respect you for actually standing up for yourself. That like stuck out the most. Now your comment on your perspective is what you expect from your minimum and maximum, and the comfort zone itself. That is actually the biggest thing I've noticed just in general. Not even like my recent job, just in general of talking to people, because some of them I'm like, why do you work for this dead end job who only treats you like a number now? You truly have no existence here. You're just a husk of yourself. Why do you do this? And they're like, well, we don't know what freedom is. I'm like, but then why don't you go find what is your happiness, your freedom? And they're like, that's too hard. That's work. I just want to work here, go home, watch Netflix, get drunk, come back to work. And I'm like, exactly. Why? That is not a life.
Well, you know how drug addicts don't know that they're addicted, although everyone else does. And so right. Alcoholics, it's the same thing. You never know because you always say that, hey, this is nothing. I'm just partying and stuff. I've seen a person who drank a bottle of wine every single day and he did not consider himself an alcoholic. So, oh, I hear the dogs.
Yes.
Here they are. So what I'm trying to say is these people don't consider that as a problem enough. And you can see a lot, you can hear a lot of stories of these successful coaches and, you know, motivational speakers when they had this inner breakdown, as I call it, so, you know, so obvious when they lost everything, slept in the car, I don't know, did lots of things happened to them. So it was a state which I would call it couldn't be worse. And so they raced. Okay. So the people that you described right now, they are in their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. They're not going to change because it's not bad enough.
Oh, yeah, and they don't know it's bad enough.
Yeah, it's bad enough for you. For you, it's...
Yeah. Actually, touching on your comment, so the other apartment guy I had on, his name's Natsun. I probably just butchered his name again. he was essentially saying, like, have you noticed immigrants work harder than... the Americans born here. I'm like, yeah, because they have nothing to lose, everything to gain. For those who lived in the system, I'm like, America's actually great. Even the quote poor homeless, they're taking very well care of, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a shitty situation they're in, but like ultimately, you know, you can go find a food free from like a church or something, and you won't starve to death. So for us in the current system, actually, if we try to do what the immigrants coming doing, we have everything to lose and we feel like we have nothing to gain, kind of thing.
Right. You're so true. So, you know, this comfort zone, this is exactly, I read numerous books on this topic. And if you know this experiment that was done, I think over a decade ago, which is Universe 25 with the rats, they placed four rats in a closed environment. And what they did is they provided them with the food and water and everything that the rats needed. So they didn't need to hunt. They didn't need to do anything. So what happened over time is the rats started to, you know, procrastinate. Rat procrastination.
Interesting.
Yeah. They first they, you know, increased in number, of course. There were 600 rats. But once they reached this number, hierarchy appeared. Okay. There were rats that were not hunting anymore, even for food. Other ones brought them food. There were rats who stopped, I don't know, doing everything, who even cannibalism, you know, developed there. So the point is this, on the 40th day, the last rat died out of 600. And the experiment is called the Universe 25 because it was done for 25 times and it always ended the same way.
Interesting.
You know, read about that Universe 25. It was a series of experiments. I just described one. And the point is this, that we need this, you know, three states throughout our lives. We need the pressure. We need to hunt. We need to be happy. And we need to also sometimes to rest. But most people, the ones that you described right now, they're sleeping. and they will sleep throughout their lives unless something really bad happens to them when they figure that it can't be worse and they start rising.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back in March, this is what sparked everything for me. It was the market crash. And I'm mm-hmm. watching the YouTube live feed. Everyone's like, this is the end of capitalism as we know it. But then there's people in the chats going, hell yes, this is the best thing ever. And I'm saying, okay, why are some people crying and some not, kind of thing. So then there was the whole psychology of trading, psychology of business. I realized in general, just psychology is what I actually need to focus on. The rest will fill in later. And
absolutely.
It was even your comment, like a catastrophic event. One of my supervisors who's been working with this company for like, I think he said 30-ish years, might be more. His whole 401k was wiped out.
Oh my God.
He wasn't worried. He's like, I'll just work longer. I'm like, no, like you got to be smart about your assets kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know this. I was never taught it. So I don't care. And it's, that's when it hit me. I'm like, there are truly some people you can never like connect with. You can never actually help their perspective kind of thing.
Actually, I'm a true believer that no one helps anyone unless the person is ready. You know, the same things. There is a no information, actually, that you cannot find for free in Google or in books. There is information to become anyone, any person you want. Mm-hmm. Want to become a millionaire? It's there. Want to become a billionaire? It's there. You know, the problem is what is going on in our heads because we're not allowing ourselves to do that.
Right. No, it's very true. And I've recently with psychology, I've accepted like there will be certain periods of my life. It'll be very boring and very bland, like accounting work. It's like it's lets me allow my freedom, but ultimately there will be also very interesting, but everyone I've talked to is just like, we want the flash in the pan. That's it. And it's like, well, no, that's not how life works. That easy as it is.
Well, you know what? I'm a true believer. We actually moved a little bit off the topic.
Right.
But I think that I think that what we're talking about right now is very important in terms of content as well, because the listeners will be able to understand the psychology and mindset of the people that are buying from them. There is a scientist called Joe Dispenza. Okay, you probably heard of him, and he made series of what? You said something, or you didn't?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay, so Joe Dispenza made series of experiments. I think several hundred, and he found out that we have approximately 65,000 thoughts every day, and 95% of those thoughts are similar to what we had yesterday. So we're thinking the same stuff. And when you, for example, as a company, I will go back to the topic for a bit and then move.
I was just trying to figure out a way to incorporate that because I do want to get back to the avatar too.
Yeah, I'm talking about the avatar right now. So, okay. When you're writing a content about to your customer avatar, you are proposing to him the new model of behavior, okay, using your product or a service. But at the same time, you should know that the new model is really, really difficult for him to absorb. He can only absorb 5% new thoughts. 95% is the old thing. So what you need to do to grab their attention is to give them every one of their thoughts at this very moment. So imagine that you're thinking about something. I don't know. You're thinking about your dog. And I do that a lot, you know, John? I mean, I think about my dogs, about what to do with them, how's their future, and you know, as I love to say, I'm working hard so my dogs would have a better life.
Yes.
So imagine you're thinking about your dog, and suddenly someone publishes this post saying the same thing that you're thinking about his dogs, or generally without offering you something, you figure that you have the same thoughts about the topic. Okay, so right, like we're talking right now, but everything in terms of content. So. And at this very moment, you actually, because he said or she said you exactly what you were thinking about. So that's when you start paying attention. And all that, promises and all that, trying to apply new product or service to your life, this sounds like a noise to you because your mind rejects it until... You see it so many times in your feed, and they paid so much, so much money for you to see it, that you start accepting that information. But that, that means you have to have millions of dollars in terms of ads, and I'm not kidding. It's really millions of dollars.
It's insane.
Yeah. And I can tell you that millions of dollars every day are washed down the toilet for Facebook ads or Google ads who never brought the message that needs to be seen. So when companies start thinking about that, the thoughts that their prospects are thinking right now and sharing those thoughts, they move from their narcissistic approach, which, by the way, I used to say that most of your competitors are narcissistic companies. So they move from narcissistic approach, telling their story and blah, 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 which no one cares, to talking to their prospects and actually, showing that they're relevant to them because they share the same thoughts.
Absolutely. It's literally what I've been picking up on this whole journey for the last three-ish months is it's just that it's you don't tell your story. If they want to hear it, they'll either look it out, like look for it, or they'll actually ask you. Otherwise, focus on your customer and that's
it. Exactly. How many, I have yet to start my morning, and I bet you too, without someone telling his story in my email. I thought this happened to me 25 years ago. This was in my childhood. And I'm like, okay, fine. I love reading stories, but how is this relevant? Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just muting my mic with the dogs barking.
That's fine. I think that your listeners don't mind that.
Okay.
So I think that, this narcissistic approach, it develops just because these messages, most of them, are shared for free. There's social media messages, email, and so on and so forth. And people try things in a wrong way. I'm not against trying. I bet you said the same thing, basically. I remember it was something like that you think about something during the day, and then during the night, it's like coding and you...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
variables.
I how my mind works, this is how I can bypass the 95%. If I force feed stuff, even if it's uncomfortable, it'll stick. But not many people are willing to force feed it. But the problem is there's so much data, and my mind's like an engineer and wants to compartmentalize everything. So when I'm sleeping, I'm not sleeping about me flying with pigs kind of thing. It's numbers, compartmentalizing like blockchain, and it's super boring. Usually there's no visuals, and I wake up and like, oh, yeah, that was it. Okay, keep going.
All right. I think that's the healthiest way to do that with you, to do things with your sleeping, because you're conscious. That's what I can tell you. And most people are unconscious, and they only care about themselves. The same goes in terms of companies. They don't care who buys their product. Most of companies don't do that. So going back to the point of the customer avatar, you should test things, okay? But test them in the right direction. You cannot treat your prospect's email box as, I don't know, as a trash can or something, that you will throw anything in there, something will come out. No, you can't do that. It shows disrespect. People right now, in the modern days, they are so protective of their email boxes. They are so protected, so protective that they're not even giving their primary email. Each and every one of us has the spam email that we're giving.
Yes, it's the I'll eventually check it like once a month email kind of thing, but usually it's just terrible spammy ads.
Exactly. So we have just one spam email when we want to download some lead magnet or anything else or register for a free trial. So we think that it's not worth, and we don't know who the person is. Now, the most challenging thing for many companies is to get out of that spam email into his primary email, because most of the times, if we find the company really valuable and the message really, you know, reflects with us, we just re-register with our main emails.
Yeah.
And so this is the most challenging thing. But the problem is that many companies, most companies, it's very difficult it's very easy to stand out from this crowd if you are thinking about your customer avatar, and it's very difficult to stand out from this crowd if you are only talking about themselves, about yourself and your business, okay?
Right.
So as I think it was Dickens who said, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I would say that about doing business nowadays. It's the best of times because it's very easy.
Okay, so this is now to end a part one. Part two will be up within a day or two. Per usual, thank you for listening. You're awesome. Don't forget to rate, review, tweet me. You hit me up on my website, joshboltonshow.com. And yeah, till next time, stay safe and stay well, everyone. Well, congratulations, you made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So, being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? App, if you do it on Apple, and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations, you're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. Watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel. Change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome and see you next time.